may be one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples was in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
And welcome to another episode of G220 Radio. I'm Ricky Gantz with Mike Miller. And this is episode number 415. 415. Mike, how are we doing, brother?
Doing pretty good. Pretty excited. I got my, for those in the audio and video, I got my Dr. Mueller notes.
Nice.
For this article we're going to talk about. Yeah. Although I don't highlight like he does, so it's not completely.
And for those of you who are tuning in, maybe you thought we were going to do the 1689 tonight. We had to make a change of plans for the show tonight. Some things came up. Our guest was unable to be with us tonight, so we decided to go another route for tonight's program, an article that me and Mike's kind of been sitting on for a little while. Not really a long time, maybe a couple of weeks. I think it's been there a week or two.
Something like that.
Yeah, but we was going to plan on doing it for a future show, but since, you know, sometimes things change, plans change, and so here we are. And the title of this program tonight is No Science, Gossip Remains a Vice. We'll go ahead and let Mike explain some of that and what this article is we're going to look at. It's a short article, but it's interesting.
Yeah, so you talk about short. Pocket says it's about a 3-minute read, and that's probably about right. With it, and it's an article by Ben Healy. I think that's how to pronounce his name. It showed up on the July-August 2008 issue of The Atlantic. Pocket, which is what I use to collect articles, so I don't have to share everything on Facebook that I intend to read. I can just put it there, and no one knows. That. Kind of this idea of gossiping is good. So he makes a declarative statement in the title. Mm-hmm. Gossiping is good. He starts off the article by talking about Anne Landry's, which most of probably the listeners know as an advice columnist. Then you have Blaise Pascal, kind of Pascal's wager, and it was what he's known for. He talks about gossip, and then they also mention the Talmud. You may not, that is a Jewish writing back in second century Judaism. It was a collection of writings, and so we have it, and kind of the argument is gossip, which they define. Should probably have their work with their definition a little bit. And so they define gossip, or at least how he states it, is a talk between at least two people about absent others. So this could be two people talking about one person or a group of people, or it could be a group of people talking about one person. That's kind of the idea behind it. So in their definition, it's not necessarily about negative things, though this will come up within the article. And they try to prove that gossip, whether it's positive or negative, so either you talk about people positively behind their back or you talk about people negatively behind their back, has this kind of unifying aspect in which people come together, they find communities. And the reason why they find communities is because, well, monkeys used to groom each other in our primate stage. And this is a type of vocal grooming that allows us, and kind of the quid pro quo type approach. You scratch my back, I scratch your back, and everyone is happy. And that's kind of the gist of the article. They talk about different studies from the University of Texas. They have quotes from University of Kansas Press, University Press of Kansas have stuff. UC Berkeley, throw all these big names out, make it sound nice and pretty that gossip is good.
Yeah. And it's not something that only happens outside of the church. So that's why it's very important. And this is why the Word of God speaks about gossip. And so tonight we're going to go ahead and look at this article and then discuss it and talk about it and see what the Bible says about gossip, as well as, you know, we have some quotes that will flash on the screen when we move the screens around and whatnot for you to see them from some well-known sources, basically. I'm trying to think. Just reading this, you know, short article on gossip, it's silly to me that you have these individuals who are in these universities, these, you know, doing these studies, doing these tests to try to come up with these ideas to rationalize and make it a good thing to gossip about others. You know, we talked last week on the show. We had James Watkins on, who expressed his struggle with depression, right? And I'm not going to say that every single time someone is gossiping, that that's going to lead someone to depression, but it can be looked at as a form of bullying or a form of, you know, just being mean to other people, obviously, that could cause some of that types of depression to come down on people, you know, when you're trying to fit in to a social crowd and you're on the outs and people are making up lies about you and saying things about you. You know, it's different. Not that suicides weren't around before, but it's different, I think, in our age, which we live, where we talked about social media as well last week, but where we have social media, where there is, you know, so many things, so much access for people to be able to bully one another. You know what I mean? Gossip about one another, slander one another.
Yeah. And I think if we take their definition at kind of face value, there is times that just because you're talking about someone behind their back, it's not necessary gossip as we think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, consider the process of church discipline. If I'm trying to reconcile with someone, now I need to bring more people in. There is a sense in which to bring people in, I need to talk about my situation, why I think this brother has sinned against me, to someone when they're not there. At least so they have a gist of what's going on with it. So, and they even define it as kind of this positive gossip and negative gossip, and just that you're just talking about others. And so to take their definition, we could probably agree that maybe that's not, you know, in a sense, okay, there is that you know, we can agree with part of it. But I think another part of it, though, is they're hijacking the word. Gossip always has a negative connotation to it, because it's not that you're just talking about someone when they're not around. It's usually you're talking about someone when they're not around, in which you intentionally be malicious. Now, they bring up a stat that saying as little as 3-4% is actually malicious. I mean, how are they defining malicious? Like, they're trying to like harm or actually to do it. And so to consider, kind of what they're going. Whoops, sorry.
I was going to say, even when they say that in the article, when they talk about 3-4% as actually malicious, and malicious could be intended to do harm. That's where I kind of took it. It says right after that, it says, and even that portion can bring people together, you know? Yeah. So somebody's trying to do harm, but it can bring people together.
They try to dance around it. They're not very consistent, to say the least, when they're talking about it. Because as you said, negative gossip, even as what they have it, has some effects. And just some things that struck me as I was kind of reading through it, before I sent it to Ricky, I skimmed it. So this is kind of after reading. A lot of this is this understanding that the ends justify the means. So while, as they say, gossip's a dodgy reputation, their kind of argument is like, look, gossip can't be that bad if we're better off in the end, that we receive something better. I think, so to kind of start on a critique on that point, is that the Bible says that the ends and the means matter. Just because you can do something to achieve something doesn't mean that makes it right. Even if the thing that you're trying to achieve is for good, like world peace, we'll throw that out. Like, you can do things to try to bring world peace, but if it's sin, and it comes about through sinful ways, it's still not pleasing to God, because God cares not only about the ends, but he also cares about the means with it. And so this whole article is trying to establish that kind of what has this undercurrent of the ends justify the means. So gossip brings about these good things, so it's okay with it. But at the same time, they're also overstepping the bounds of science. He mentions a psychologist called Robin Dunbar. He's an evolutionary psychologist. And, well, here's the problem. All that science can do is to tell us what has happened. That even when you think about, all science is this way, whether it's a soft science like psychology or hard science like chemistry, science can only tell us about what has happened. And so for Ben Healy to push, gossip is good, he has to be getting some sort of definition someplace. And then tries to elevate science to a position that it can't hold. Obviously, he's trying to call what is wrong right with it. And I think that's where, when we consider it, is science can't tell us what's good, what's not. They can tell us the effects of our choices, how that may impact others. But it doesn't determine what is good, what is right, without other presuppositions coming in, which Ben Healy neglects to kind of unfold and develop.
Yeah. As you said, too, with this, you know, evolutionary psychologist, that right there should just automatically spark reservation, because here's a man who now you're adding this into your article from this study, where this man is, you know, comparing gossip today, you know, being a good thing, to monkeys that would groom one another. You know, it's their way of being close and bonded. So we gossip today in our way of being close and bonded with one another. It's really silly to think that, you know, being that we're reformed, we understand what the Bible says about the sovereignty of God, what the Bible says about the unbeliever being dead in their sins and trespasses, you know, walking in darkness, loving to be in the darkness. They don't want to come into the light. Blinded by their own wickedness and their own sinful hearts, the idolatry factor that our hearts are already. And so they don't, so we know that they can't properly understand and see things rightly. You know, there may be some things that God has graciously allowed them to see and experience, but they can't see things rightly, right? And so to look at this from this evolutionary psychologist, it's still, as a believer, though I know those theological truths, it's like, wow, like, are you seriously going to compare gossip to monkeys grooming one another?
Yeah. In the book that they cite, which is titled Grooming, Gossip, and the Evolution of Language, he calls gossip kind of the vocal grooming, is the language he uses there, according to some sources I try to pick up on it. But there's just some things when you think about it, even more so. So the beginning of the second paragraph, Ben writes, it's a good thing that, and what he start referring back to there is that research suggests that gossip may in fact be healthy. So he's saying that's a good thing too, since gossip is pretty pervasive. So people do it. A lot of people do it. His first line of argument is children tend to be seasoned gossiped by the age of 5. Yes. But is that a good thing?
No.
Or is that just a reflection of original sin? Like, why should we be looking at the fact that children gossip, are seasoned gossipers at age 5? That's just not appropriate. And that's because children aren't trained, even at 5, to have full control of their emotions. We shouldn't be looking at children as some beacon of goodness. They might bring joy and goodness into people's lives, and those are good things and what God has created. But I mean, it goes back down to, do you teach children how to lie? And no. What's my daughter's big thing in the last year? She's learned and knows when she lies, and she does it. And we'll ask her, we'll call her out on her lie, and we ask you, why are you doing it? And she says, I don't know. And that's to be expected. Like, I don't expect much from her to know kind of, you know, the why she would do such a thing. But it shows just the corruption of our heart. If we don't have to tell a child how to lie or to, you know, be selfish, they learn that that's already part of who they are. Why would we want to take children as seasoned gossips as anything good? Yeah. And so to kind of point that way isn't really helping. If you were to stop and to consider all of children's behavior and whether it's right or wrong, but then again, he's using science as a rule of his morality. So in a sense, he can't really say what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah. And you have these types of conversations with atheists or evolutionary, those who promote the evolutionary process. And they will have these conversations with you and try to push science, like this man is putting his beliefs and writing this article based upon what he believes to be these scientific studies, right? But again, as you said, Mike, you can't account for the morality. You can't account for why these things would be good, why gossip would be good. You know, God's word tells us that gossip is not good. I was just looking here at some scriptures, and in Romans 1, where it talks about everyone knowing that God exists, right? Everyone knows God exists, but they suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. And what do? They worship creation rather than the Creator. And it says in verse 29 in chapter 1, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. I mean, that's pretty powerful that he finishes this off. He tells all these unmanners of unrighteousness that they are. He says they're gossips. You know, it's a serious sin in the eyes of God. Proverbs 6, right? 16 through 19 talks about these six things the Lord hates. And one of them is a false witness who breathes out lies. This is a serious sin. And I do believe that there are churches that speak against it. There are pastors that preach in the pulpit, and it comes out in their preaching at times when they're dealing with certain topics that it's related to, or it comes out, right? But this is also, I think, personally, an easy sin to get into without realizing you're in it.
Yeah. You have kind of within the church context, the notorious like prayer meetings, and they become like gossip sessions. Thankfully, my church is not that way with it, but there is that mentality. And when you think about even the commandment, thou shalt not lie, mm-hmm. and with it, there's two aspects that come from it. So you're not to bear false witness as with it. But what does it mean to not bear false witness? Well, it's to uphold truth. And not to also intentionally try to destroy someone's good name. Mm-hmm. Now, if they've done things and they show themselves to be a fool, they don't need help of other people destroying their good names. Their evidence comes about it. You see in Proverbs 10, verse 14-ish, the fool screams in the streets, look how foolish I am. Like they declare their own foolishness. But we're to talk about people which honors them, which upholds them. Just like talking about Ephesians, you have the idea of having slander and double entendres in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5. And then Paul tells us that we're to speak with thanksgiving, not in those ways, which seems weird that as this is a Sunday school lesson we had this past Sunday, as a Sunday school teacher, you wouldn't think that's the opposite, but it is. Because it's what Paul is trying to do is it's not just not doing those things. It's replacing it with thanksgiving towards God and towards what he's given to you. and gossip doesn't bring Thanksgiving. Even in their definition, how they kind of play it out, his view of gossip is self-serving. He talks about how positive gossip inspires self-improvement efforts. So whatever a positive gossip is, it benefits me. And negative gossip, which is probably what gossip would be, made people prouder of themselves. Well, why are they proud of themselves? Because they're tearing someone down. They're maybe, another way to think about it in Proverbs is they speak words of death. But Christians, what God calls people to do is to give words of life, to build people up, to help them and to strengthen them. And we see this in the church and how we are to speak each other with thanksgiving and songs, hymns and spiritual songs. We are to encourage people with love and spur them on in good works. This, no matter how the author tries to spin gossip, you really see the view of it's really about me, my productive. And if people are gossiping about me, my pride is hurt, so I need to get back into it. As he mentions later on in that exact paragraph. So you just have a complete difference in worldview and difference in theology. And we see that the practical aspects are now played out differently, in which one calls sin good and the other one reveals the nature and the heart of the actions behind it and shows why it's wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, the Bible tells us, though, that we're not supposed to take part in unfruitful works, right, of darkness. But it says to instead expose them, right? The Bible tells us many places to call out false things that are false, you know, to speak that which is true. But sometimes people take that as a license, as you said, you know, like some like the quote unquote church prayer meeting where and not your church, not my church, but where little old ladies or whatever will try to share a little information about so-and-so. Not something that so-and-so brought forth and said, can you guys pray for me on this? But just to kind of let it out there like, hey, this is happening with that person, and kind of in a slanderous gossip type of way. And we think then, well, you know, we're doing a good thing or doing something noble by doing that, right? And ultimately it comes down to, you know, I was talking about, this pride that's within in individuals that kind of puffs them up to think, okay, they're not doing so good. I'm going to let people know about them not doing so good. So it makes me feel better about myself, right? To some of the points in which he's making here, of course, if you take two people in his article here, if you take two people, there's a part in here where it talks about the 3-4% that's actually malicious. When he finishes that up, he says that if two people share negative feelings about a third person, they are likely to feel closer to each other than they would if they both felt positively about him or her, right? And I wrote in a little note, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, that idea of if I don't like this person, you don't like this person, we're gossiping about this person. We're slandering this person. It makes us feel good and connected with one another because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? But it's really a heart issue, as all sin is, of trying to puff yourself up in pride to want to go ahead and gossip and slander about another person. And as I said, it's a tough thing because the Bible's clear on what gossip is, sinful. It's not a good thing. But yet for Christians, it's so easy, as I said, to fall into this sin. You could be at work and you're just doing your job and somebody comes up to you and starts slandering or gossiping about your supervisor. You didn't know that conversation was coming. What do you do? What do you say? You know, or somebody starts a conversation with you and you don't know where that conversation is going to lead. And in their mind, they want to tell you this story about another coworker or another student if you go to school, you know, and it's like, what do you do? And sometimes before you can even say, once you realize this person's gossiping, before you can even say, whoa, ho, ho, I don't want anything to do with that. You know, sometimes it just, it's so quick and it's there and it's like, okay, now what do I say? You know?
Yeah. You have like verses in Zechariah. This is Zechariah 8. Starting in verse 14. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I proposed to bring disasters to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again I have proposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak truth to one another. Render your gates, judgments that are true, and make peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For these are the things I hate, declares the Lord. And you see in this passage that our talk needs to be truthful and promoting, and to not have falsehoods connecting it. And if we kind of think about the nature of gossip, is that while there may be truth in it, there is an intent for something else. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the feelings of feeling prouder of themselves because they've, you know, are doing something better than someone else's, or talking about, you know, seeing what someone did and like, oh, did you see what he did or she did, brings about this falsehood because you don't know everything about it. You don't know what's going on. And most of the time, I would say, when gossip is revealed and it comes to light what was going on, the person who gossiped had no clue about what was actually going on. Mm-hmm. And so while you can, you know, so you're saying things that you don't know are true or not, you don't know everything behind it, and that events cannot be taken in a vacuum. Things lead up to it and things fall from it. And so there's an understanding that when you're gossiping, you can say the sole point of gossip is to tear down someone else in some way, to injure their good names, whether it's through falsehoods, whether it's to, it's not to build up. And then that's where, you know, we're called to be different. We're called to speak truth, but we're called also to know and to be ready. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, those conversations come out of nowhere, and sometimes you may even see yourself doing it in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So obviously you need to stop and you need to repent, you know, with it. But I think, you know, calling that person out in their gossip in gracious ways can help combat it. And to learn pointed questions on to decipher some of these things.
Yeah.
Like, Well, why would he? Why did he do that? Well, how do you know? And to kind of similar questions I use to talk to people on the street when they tell me, you know, their beliefs. And to get them to come to the conclusion so that, you know, there can be a render and to be able to talk to the person, you know, if that's going to affect you in a way that brings peace and truth.
Yeah. I think one of the things too is when we're hurt because of something someone else does, right? It's easy for us to go and we talked about this a little bit in the beginning there when you talked about there is good kind of talking between parties about something else. Like if you and I had another brother on this program that was having some issues, you and I may need to talk about, hey, what should we do with this brother for counsel, for wisdom? How should we deal with this? There's that factor that does come into play. But a lot of times when one party is hurt because of another party saying things about them or doing something that offends them, and they hear about that gossip, it's easy then to go and try to defend yourself or go and begin to tell other people about that person to kind of even the score or to say, look, they're saying these things, but wait till you hear about what they do. You know what I mean? And it's really, again, it's not coming from a right heart as a Christian. If we took these problems that we hear from other people, maybe gossiping about us, to the Lord in prayer and left them with Him and not worried about trying to defend ourselves or to speak against something that may not be true, you know, I do believe there's a time if somebody's making accusations that can really harm your family, harm your career, you know, harm your being in church. If somebody's saying lies about you that could cause some serious damage to you, you know, like if you're a pastor of a church and somebody's saying you was having an affair with somebody and that's not even true, you know what I mean? There may be times where you have to defend that. But sometimes it's such small, insignificant things that you can just let them go. Give them to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, you know, help me to love this person. Help me to be kind to this person. Help me to not let these things that I hear that people are saying about me that I know aren't true, you know aren't true. Help me to just let it go and not say anything, you know, and then build them up and love them despite what they may be saying to me. But that's not our first instinct. Even as Christians, sometimes it's easier to then go talk to another person about so-and-so or the situation.
Yeah. You know, the idea of love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that have to be acted upon. But a way of loving them despite of their fallenness, and to talk about it. And I didn't make a note, you know, on this. He talks about, we mentioned it, negative gossip made people prouder of themselves. I mean, let's go, you know, let's push it. Bullying makes the bully makes himself feel better by bullying other people. Does that mean bullying can be healthy because he picks on people smaller than him or maybe not as intelligent in some ways? You know, does that make it right? And you mentioned it earlier that really gossip is kind of a cowardly form of bullying. Mm-hmm. And in a sense that you won't even say this to the person in front of you. You have to hide behind the shed, make sure they're not around. You know, there's, you know, at least a bully, you can have admiration of their going up and actually confronting it, overcoming kind of their fear and doing it. Not that I'm advocating bullying.
That's why I mentioned that in the beginning about the bullying aspect, because I can remember when I was in high school. It was a long time ago, but I can still remember, as opposed to today, because of social media, because of the access that children are all over on these different apps. You know, I use Facebook and I use Twitter. I don't even think, like, I talked to my daughter, she doesn't even use those apps. You know, they use these other things, you know, like there's these Snapchat, different apps. Yeah, TikTok. Snapchat and yeah, things. And so there's all these opportunities to have this social media interaction with people that you do know, people that you don't know. But I know that when I was in school, let's say that there was a young girl, a teenage girl, who maybe was hanging out with a boy, and then somebody goes around saying gossip that things happened that didn't happen. And it's going around, and it ruins one of their reputation. And they get known as being, you know, a loose girl or someone who's, you know, sleeping around with all these guys. And they're like, I never did anything. But it begins to ruin their reputation. And and so you think about that back when I was just in high school, you know, years and years ago. But now how serious it is. And we've seen, and that's why I mentioned the bullying and depression. And we talked about that a little bit on our last week's show. But we're seeing like this increase in suicides, right? It's crazy how much we're seeing. Now, these things could have been around. Many things were around before. Things did happen. But with the social media and news outlets right in front of your face, 24 hours a day, you get instant notifications of things. There's just so many that you see in your own communities and things. And ultimately, we want to see people come to Christ, because in Christ there is hope. He's the only way you're going to find real hope. But these things could be, as you mentioned, it's a cowardly way. It's a softer form of bullying.
Yeah. And, I mean, even when they talk about how negative gossip makes people prouder in themselves, they also note that negative gossip has what they call, quote-unquote, pro-social effects on those who are gossiped about, because it ruins their reputation. Because of their selfishness. So they're obviously, selfishness seems to still be wrong, even though it can make you proud. Anyways, they reform their ways to try to gain approval of the people. Now, I wrote that's because they want to be God. Yeah. And the reason they want to be God is because they're prideful, and because they're no longer liked, and that desire to be liked in some people will cause them to change their attitude, or to do what they need to do to get that approval.
Right.
So that they're liked again.
Yeah.
So they can feel good about themselves again.
Yeah.
And if we consider how maybe they'll stop, and part of their reforming their ways is by gossiping about others,
yeah,
to turn the group against
someone
them.
Else. Yep.
And all this does is create strife, because no one likes to be talked about behind their back, which is completely absent in the article.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, you know, because I put a note there too at that that section where it talked about they reformed their ways to attempt. And I didn't say they want to be God. Obviously, it is a prideful thing, because it's your pride doesn't want to be the one that's always being talked about. But I said, why is it that they're then reforming their ways? What is the motivation behind it? And I put, because they want to please others. So they're going to become somebody that they're not to please the people that are around them. You know, if you're in a group of people that like to hang out and drink and smoke and do drugs or whatever, and it's a crowd of people and they're gossiping about other people and you're at the bottom and you want to fit in, you might start to reform your ways to fit in with that group. And then you start drinking and doing these things that, you know, you wouldn't have normally done. You may not even like to do it, but you're trying to, you know, fit in with the people, be a people pleaser, be liked by others, when the Bible even tells us about that. We're not supposed to be fake just for the sake of being liked by others. Because the Bible says, as Christians, we are a peculiar people. We're going to be strangers to people. We're going to be alienated because of our beliefs in Christ. You take a stand on being a Christian, people are not going to want to associate with you. They're not going to want to hang out with you. They're not calling me up and saying, hey, Ricky, come on and hang out with us at the Super Bowl party. We're going to have beer and drinking, you know, or we're going to have, you know, a good time. We're going to play some cards for some money, gamble, whatever. Things that they know I don't partake in. You know, they're not going to call me up to do those things because he doesn't partake in those things. He doesn't do those things that we enjoy doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's what this kind of comes down. Because even some of the language he uses is like significant body of research suggests that gossip may, in fact, be healthy. At the end, he says, so next time you're tempted to dish out dirt, fear not, you may actually be promoting cooperation, boosting other self-esteem, and performing essential tasks of a human family. And this language, this possibility language comes in. But here's, I think this is the kicker. Well, how does this actually play out? Like, is he taking his own advice? And how is this working for him? Mm-hmm. And, you know, is this really promoting cooperation?
Yeah.
Is there true cooperation as it goes? Or is it just a whole bunch of people trying to fight for position? And, you know, he talks about boosting other self-esteem, but yet the entire article is about just your own self-esteem.
Yeah. Well, you know, here where you brought up the very end of it where it says, so next time you're tempted to dish the dirt, fear not. I think we should rewrite that. Next time you're tempted to dish the dirt, fear God. Because he's clear, and I'm going to give you some scriptures here of what God says about slander, what he says about gossip. Proverbs 20, some of these we may have already brought up, but Proverbs 20:19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. How many close friendships have been ruined because of, you know, slander or gossip, strife? Proverbs 11:13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. How about doing that instead of just going ahead and letting it out there so you feel good about yourself? But one who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. You don't have to tell everybody somebody else's business. You know, it may not be for other people to know. If that individual wanted other people to know, they would tell them they're struggling in an area or there's something that they need help with. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Proverbs 26:20, for the lack of wood and fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. How many quarrels could be ended? How many people at odds with each other could be ended if they just did not go about slandering one another?
Yeah, Leviticus 19:16. You should not go around as slanderers among your people. You should stand up for life against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You have it here. You know, John 5:12 talks about how Jesus heals a man, and they're asking who it was, and the man is trying to remember the exact context. He's in front of the Sanhedrin, and they're trying to slander, and the man who was healed was like, I don't know if he's a good man or not. Like, I don't know if he's sinned. Obviously, Jesus is the one who's healed him. So as the readers, we know the answer to that question. But you don't see him slandering the Lord. He doesn't know. He pleads the ignorance with that.
Yeah. Psalm 141:3. This is a prayer we should all pray when we are faced with that temptation to want to speak against someone slanderously or gossip about them. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips.
Yeah. Did you do Psalm 15?
I don't think so.
Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up the reproach against his friend. Yeah, James talks about the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
In chapter 3.
Yeah. There's a lot of scriptures that deal with this. The Bible says, do not bear false witness. That's God's command. It's in the Ten Commandments. And we should take those things seriously. Take God's word seriously. And as Christians, you know, this temptation is going to be there. We're going to be tempted to gossip. We're going to be tempted to slander someone. It's very easy. You know, I've seen it with us having a podcast, right? It can be very easy, the temptation to try to get ahead by slandering other podcasts, slandering other brothers who are trying to do something similar to what we're doing just to get views and to get conflict to kind of, you know, have people watch our program. We don't want to fall into those temptations, right? But it's easy to do. It's easy to do. And so we have to fully trust the Lord to guard our tongues, to guard, you know, what guard our steps, which way we're headed in the direction that we should be heading as Christians, and not getting off that path and doing things contrary to that.
Yeah, and I think to note, so if we take his definition that gossip is talk between at least two people about absent others, some who may be critical of us would say, well, that's what you're doing. You're gossiping about this band Healy. And that there should be a note that while we read his article, we have not personally attacked him or said bad things about him or tried to demean him in any ways, because he's an image of God and he deserves the respect. He has written something that we wanted to critique and to think about, but we're not judging his motives. He's trying to figure out how to live, quote unquote, a moral life, to what is good and to help others. Obviously, we think his isn't going to do that because he lives in God's world, and in God's world, gossip brings death and destruction. And so if Ben ever hears this, we call you to think more carefully and to consider your own sin and how your own gossip that has destroyed those meaningful relationships, and to trust in Christ. Yeah. Who can heal you, he may not bring those relationships back because sin has consequences, but you can find your hope in him. And to see the truth about gossip that gossip is negative, has a negative connotation because it is a negative thing. It's just not merely two or more people talking about people that are absent. And it's hard. It seeks to destroy.
Yep.
And that's not truthful.
Right.
And it's not helpful. And it's not loving. But you can come to a God who demonstrated his love for you when he died on the cross, when the Father sent his Son to pay the wrath to come.
Amen. Amen, brother. All right, that's pretty much been our show for tonight. But before we wrap it up, we got a few things want to share with you. There's a few things that'll be coming up here. Well, actually, one thing that I want to share with you coming up in 2020 here on February 22nd. It's Saturday. It's going to be at Heritage Reform Baptist Church. Just hosted. It's going to be held there, but it's hosted by the Word of God Church. And in partnership with Heritage Reformed, it's the Made in His Image Pro-Life Conference. The theme for this conference, they do this every year. This theme for this year is adoption. And as I said, it's hosted by the Word of God Community Church in cooperation with Pastor Walter Moss and Pregnancy Choices. And their speakers are going to be Elder Eric Walden and Felicia Walden. It's of Mount Hermon Baptist Church out of Cleveland, Ohio, which is in our area here, my area here. Adoption agency representatives will be available to answer questions, and they'll be collecting diapers and things for Pregnancy Choices. And so that is coming up on February 22nd, 2020. The time is 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you're in that Canton area, or nearby area, and you're free that day and you want to get out and go and support them there, you can do so. Reach out to us if you want any more information, and I can connect you with the one who's doing all the promotion for that from the Word of God Church. So
I know you asked me last week if I had a conference to promote, and I didn't, but I should have. There is a conference in Alabama that happened this past weekend by a guy named Jake Stone. I met him at the Founders Conference here in Louisville. He's a great guy. He's been pastoring for 10 years. When he started his church, they are Arminian, KJV only. And now they use the ESV and they're Calvinists. So God is going to work. But he has a conference called the Deep South Theological Conference. And they had Dr. Tom Nettles, who's a Baptist historian. Great guy, does stuff with Founders. I'm excited for them to release their audio and videos. He's promised to do it. And so if you're looking for some conference messages about kind of Baptist beliefs and then kind of the idea, I think it's around covenant theology, they're talking about justification and some other things too. So that would be something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Coming out.
That's one of the things we want to do here on G220 Radio and on our G220 Radio social media page. So if you have any conferences, we will kind of screen them. We want to make sure that they are solid. Don't send us a prophecy conference that says, you know, these are the four blood moons.
Week.
Yeah. Four blood moons or something. Because we won't promote that. But we do want to try to post some of these things on the social media page for your benefit that you can be blessed by. And if you're in those areas, you can go and encourage those brothers there at those conferences or whatever it may be, and you know, just kind of encourage them, and hopefully it would be a blessing to you as well.
And we are aware of the Ligonier and Shepherd's conferences coming up here in the next month and a half, so you don't need to tell us about that or like the other big conferences.
Yeah,
just local ones.
Yeah,
people may not know about.
Right. And I think next week we should be back on a 1689 topic. And then the following week, we will have our hot seat episode where we're going to have our questions and people are going to get on the so-called hot seat, the, invisible hot seat.
Make them sit on fire. Yeah. Yes.
So that should be fun. And we also have coming up soon, I went to a debate this last weekend, and there's going to be a review of that debate coming up. Mainly the, we're Reformed here. We're Calvinist. So, I mean, there's no secret to that. It says it right down there on our screen, Reformed, explicit Calvinistic language. So we are Calvinists here. We are Reformed Baptist. And that should be no surprise. So we will be reviewing mainly the non-Calvinistic side of this debate, some of the things they said, and to do as what we tried to do here tonight, critique their position and hope to show them where we believe the Bible is saying things contrary to what they are saying that the Bible is saying. And so hopefully that would be helpful to those who may want to check that out as well.
Pray for me so I don't try to make myself deaf while listening to this debate. In case I need to be saved before I'm saved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we've had some interactions. I went to the debate. I had a really good time. I was blessed by the people that I met there. And it's a small world. I knew a couple guys that I've open air preached with on the streets, and they were there. And I heard one of the guys that I've preached with, actually, we started open air preaching together. We went to the Derby for the first time together, eight years ago. And we were on the same team. We were brand new. We'd been evangelizing, but we never did any open air preaching. And that was our first experience. We was on the same team. And so we've known each other since. But I did not know until just this last weekend that his pastor was Dan Chittick. And I heard the name and I thought, So I asked one of the other guys that was with him. I said, you know, when I was growing up, I had a pastor named Frank Chittick. I know he had a son that went and became a pastor somewhere. I said, we just started kind of talking about it. And they were like, yeah, that was his dad. So it was a small world here. They're in Michigan, and, you know, I'm here in Ohio. But I thought it was a very small world in which we live in as Christians here in the United States, where, you know, their pastor, the pastor that they loved, and he retired and he moved away to Pennsylvania now, but that they were under for so long was the son of the pastor that I had growing up, even though I wasn't a Christian in the church that I was in. So I just thought that was fascinating. It was great to know that. So, yeah, but we got a lot of things coming up. We want to try to get people subscribed over to our, the audio portion of it. So, you're going to want to subscribe over there. You'll get some bonuses at some point, you know, only for the audio listeners. But other than that, I think that's it, man. I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right.
Excited for next week's show. I'm hoping it's on insurance. I got some good things.
Yeah.
If you saw Ricky's post in my facetious comment.
Yeah. Awesome. That's why I said, you know, maybe you should enlighten people a little bit so they know where you're going. Because some people may not be familiar with confessions. But all right, that's been G220 Radio for tonight. God bless.
Maybe one of the reasons Stone Church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples was in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved making disciples. Follow me in Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.